The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, so that everyone who believes in him might not perish, but might have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him. Whoever believes in him will not be condemned, but whoever does not believe has already been condemned, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the verdict, that the light came into the world, but people preferred darkness to light because their works were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come toward the light, so that his works might not be exposed. But whoever lives the truth comes to the light, so that his works may be clearly seen as done in God. The Gospel of the Lord. Good morning, brothers and sisters, and once again, welcome back to our little rectory chapel here. A little thought for you here for the day. Okay, if you asked me to tell you what's the best known, most famous, and most beloved passage in all the Bible, I would bet my last nickel that it would be John 3:16. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, so that all who believe in him might not perish, but might have eternal life. The passage that we just heard here at the end, getting towards the end of our dialogue with Nicodemus. I'd ask you this morning, though, to focus on the beginning of that passage. God so loved the world that he gave. God so loved the world that he gave. See, love is giving. That's all love is. St. Paul, for example, he says to the Philippians that Jesus emptied himself on the cross. He emptied himself of everything that he was. And that emptying, that complete giving on the cross, is the perfect expression of everything that we believe in, all of our morality and all of our theology. At least that's what Pope John Paul II once said. But here's the thing. That complete giving, that complete emptying is not just a lovely idea. It is an idea that provokes a response. The most mysterious thing that Jesus ever said to Nicodemus is that nobody would understand his teaching until after he died. His death would be the perfect expression of everything that he ever taught, and no other teacher in history ever said anything like that, right? For every other teacher who's ever lived in all of history, death is the worst thing that can possibly happen to them, because death is the end of their teaching. So when death came for Socrates, there were no more pearls of wisdom going to be coming from Socrates. And when death came for Confucius, the curtain went down on all the teachings of Confucius. But it wasn't like that for Jesus. Jesus' death was the perfect expression of everything that he taught. His death was the ultimate expression of love. Which is why, by the way, the perfect symbol for love is not this, right? Is this. The perfect symbol for love isn't a Valentine. It's a crucifix. But again, that's not just a lovely idea for us to ponder in our minds. That's an idea that necessarily provokes a response. It provokes a reply. There is a moral dimension to Jesus revealing to us the nature of what love is. Because if we choose to believe it, and understand there's only two choices, you either choose to believe it or you choose to reject it. Either you accept it or you're revulsed by it. If we choose to believe it, it has to change the way we act. That is why conversion and repentance is at the heart of what it means to be a Christian. That is why being a Christian means we've got to put aside sin and conform our lives to God's truth. We do not tell God he needs to change his truth to conform to our lives. That's the challenge. And that's what Jesus meant when he said, this is the verdict. That light came into the world, but people preferred darkness to light. Why? Because their deeds were evil. This is the verdict, Jesus says. Interesting word, verdict. You know, in Greek, the word verdict is crisis. This is the crisis. You've got to make a decision. Jesus Christ is the most controversial person who ever lived in all of history because you can't be neutral about what he said. You can't be neutral about the nature of love and the change that has to take place in each one of us. You're going to hear it and act on it, or you're going to hear it and reject it. And you say to yourself, I'll bet you the same thing that I say to myself, and you say, gosh, I want to accept it. I want to believe it, but I keep falling down. I keep falling down into sin, right? God have mercy on me. Well, in that department, we've got a pretty good friend in Nicodemus. Remember how I told you that Nicodemus represents all of us? Okay, this is the only dialogue in the whole Bible that doesn't have an ending. There's no nice, neat, clean ending to this dialogue. Nicodemus just kind of fades away. And that's because Nicodemus represents all of us. And Jesus tells him all of this. And Nicodemus, he doesn't get it all figured out in the first day, does he? No, he needs some time. And God gives him some time. And this isn't the end of Nicodemus. Nicodemus shows up two more times in the scriptures. Two more times. He's the only one, Nicodemus is, who stands up and defends Jesus in the courtyard of the Sanhedrin with all of his fellow Pharisees. He's the only one who comes to Jesus' defense. And at the end of his life, Nicodemus is there. He's there with Jesus when he's taken down from the cross with a treasure of countless ointments and oils to prepare Jesus' body for burial. Yeah, Nicodemus made good. He needed a little bit of time, right? He needed a little bit of time. And that's what God gives us as well. Let's just make sure we don't waste our time. We pray, we repent, we meditate on the words of our Lord, we ask for the grace to change, right? Nicodemus, he made his choice for Christ. Now let's, you and I, do the same. Amen.